Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would guide this discussion tonight, Father. Lord, I ask you, Almighty God, to be with us, Lord God, to lead us and guide us, Lord God, to open our understanding, Lord God. And I give you praise for it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. So, we've been talking for 6 or so weeks now on just the basics of what we believe, just the very basics: salvation, water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit. And last week we started talking about tongues, about the use of tongues in the spirit-filled life. We talked about the initial physical evidence being speaking in tongues of you receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we also talked about the need of, once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that is not the pinnacle of your Christian life. That is a power, that is a passion, that is the Holy Spirit is the thing that opens the Word of God to your eyes. If you go to John chapter 16, you'll read that the Comforter is the one that convinces you of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, reminds you of the Word of the Lord, unlocks the Scriptures. The power of the Holy Spirit moving in your soul puts you in a different place than what you were before. And you have to keep that experience fresh. You have to keep it fresh. We read last week where Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I speak with tongues more than ye all. And that was in his, most of the time, probably in his prayer time. He spoke in tongues. He prayed in the Spirit. He prayed with the understanding. He sang in the Spirit. He sang with the understanding. You know, his prayer life wasn't a, dear Lord, please give me a pool. I need a Mercedes. I need a nicer camel. You know, that wasn't his prayers. His prayers were steeped in the power and the will of God, because he knew that if I'm praying the same thing God wills, if his words abide in me and my words abide in him, then I can ask what I will and it will be done. It shall be done. And so that's the importance of praying in the Spirit, keeping that fresh. During the course of our study last week, Ingham asked, can you, if someone's filled with the Holy Spirit, can they lose that? So that has kind of dominated my thoughts a little bit over the last few days as I've thought about that, because I'm telling you, if there was ever anything that can get to be confusing, it's people that speak in tongues. Because if you're living right and you're full of God and your prayer life is right and all that stuff, then and you begin to speak in tongues, whether it be in your private prayer time or as the Lord leads in a congregational setting, then everything feels right, tastes right, looks right. But turn with me for just a minute to Matthew chapter 7. And I don't want to confuse you tonight, so I'm going to go real slow here, because this can get confusing. We're talking about, once someone's filled with the Holy Spirit, once someone's been used in a gift of tongues or interpretation, can they lose that? That's the question he asked. And so listen as I read Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Matthew 7 says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, let's stop here for just a minute and talk about what is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of God is everything, right? All belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all God's. So the kingdom of God is everything. But what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God that's on the earth. Because not everything around us is, I don't know if you noticed, but not everything around us is godly. Even though the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, not everything in the earth right now is godly. There will come a time when it will be. It's just not right now. So the kingdom of heaven is God's kingdom that's here on the earth. Now that kingdom of heaven lives in me, right? I'm part of God's kingdom on this earth. Is that right? Isn't that what Jesus told his disciples? The kingdom of heaven lives in you. And the kingdom of God lives in you. So I am an example of the kingdom of heaven. the church inside these four walls, when people come inside this church, they should feel what they'll feel when they're in the kingdom of God. They should experience God inside this church because we are the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. Does that make sense? So the kingdom of heaven is simply the kingdom of God that's on the earth right now. And so wherever you go, you bring the kingdom of God to that place. If you go to Walmart to shop, then you bring the kingdom of God there as part of the kingdom of heaven. If you go fishing out on the lake and you're out there running trot lines and you run into a couple of guys out there and y'all are talking, you will be the kingdom of God to them as the kingdom of heaven here on earth. You carry that kingdom within you. So he says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So there are some people who profess Lord, Lord, who really aren't in the kingdom of heaven, who really aren't saved, who really aren't redeemed. They just say, Lord, Lord, right? But they're not in the kingdom of heaven. So they don't really have the kingdom of God working in them. You got that? Is that confusing anybody? Are you with me? Okay. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, wait a minute. What are we talking about here? We're talking about people that what? That don't have the kingdom of God in them because they're not part of the kingdom of heaven. So they don't have the kingdom of God in them. But what are they doing? They're prophesying. They're casting out devils. In thy name, they're doing wonderful works. But what does Jesus say at the judgment time? And then will I profess unto them what? I never knew you. Depart from me what? Ye workers of? What in the world is this? What is this? You mean to tell me that you cannot have the kingdom of God in you and you can cast out a devil? You mean to tell me you cannot have the kingdom of God in you and you can heal the sick? And you can prophesy in the name of the Lord? Do you believe that? Am I crazy right now? No, you don't think I am? Well then, okay, good. You got something there, Chuck? No? Okay. Okay, we'll see if I do. So what is the answer here? We know the seven sons of Sceva tried this, and it didn't work out too well from them. You remember what the devil said to them? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? So we know you just, this is not just anybody. We know this just isn't anybody that's being described here, right? This just isn't somebody that said, hey, I think I'm going to go out there tomorrow and I'm just going to say, Lord, Lord, and cast out a devil. That's not who this is. Because we see from another example of Scripture that don't work. Okay? So this isn't just somebody that got up Sunday morning and they just decided to go out and just going to start casting out devils. That's not what this is, obviously. What I profess to you that I think this is I think this is someone who has known the Lord, been intimate with the Lord, been filled with the Holy Spirit, understands God, who has now fallen away from that kingdom. They got something happened. They got upset at church, or they just got busy in life. They just willfully careless with their salvation. And now they're not where they once were. They no longer have the kingdom of God within them. They have gotten to the point that they're cold. They come to church, but they don't feel anything. They may not even come to church. But they're still able to sense, they're still able to act, they're still able to do the things that they were able to do when they were with God, when they were in the kingdom of heaven, because of Romans 11:29. So let's look at Romans 11:29 and let's see if we can tie these two thoughts together. Romans, and this is Brian Ingham's fault if you want to blame somebody, otherwise we would be on something new. Romans 11:29. Romans, right after Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. So let's do a word study on this. Number one, gifts. That is the word charisma, which means favors or benefits which God bestows on men as a mere matter of favor and not of reward. So this is not something that you earn. This is something that's freely given. When you receive the Holy Spirit, is that freely given or is it earned? It's freely given. It is a gift of God. It is a gift given to you. You can receive the Holy Spirit. It is a favor. It is freely given. The only requirement is you must be saved. The Holy Spirit doesn't inhabit an unclean vessel. He only inhabits vessels that have been redeemed. So if you're saved, then you're eligible to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of God. As Paul calls it, a gift of God. There is no, it's not something that you earn. It's not a reward. It is a favor. So, a matter of favor. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And that repentance is a word that's too long for me to speak. Amitamiletos. If my grandchild was here, she could say it. Because she speaks Greek. Which means not subject to recall, irrevocable. Irrevocable. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. There'll never be a time when the children of Israel, even though they were rebellious, even though they're wicked, even though they practiced idolatry, even though they rebelled against God, there's never a time when the children of Israel, the Jewish people, will not be considered the people of God. Because God promised Abraham, and the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, I'm not saying they're all going to be saved and go to heaven, but I am saying that they're always going to be God's people. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And it's the same thing we're getting to here. Once a person has received the Holy Spirit, known the power of God, experienced God in the Holy Spirit, been used of God, if that person begins to fall away, and I don't understand this, so don't ask me to explain it to you. I just know it by example and by watching and by what the Word of God says. If that person begins to fall away, it is possible, and I have seen this happen. It is possible for someone to go out and live like the devil, if you would, on a Friday and Saturday night and Sunday morning come in and give out a message in tongues. And that is the weirdest thing you'll ever come across. And I don't understand it. I can't say that I got a bunch of scriptures for it. I don't. Other than this one. And that is that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now let me show you an example. I do have an example to let me know that I'm not totally just flying by the seat of my pants here, although you may think I am. Let's read here's what Finest Dakes says, if you have a Dakes Bible. It says, this applies to any individual whom God calls or gives a gift to. God does not change his mind as if he had made a mistake. So let's look here at an example. It's an Old Testament example, but let's look at an example of what I just told you. So let's go to 1 Samuel, back in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel, we're going to go to chapter 10. First Samuel chapter 10. Now this is whenever Saul was being called to be the king of Israel. Samuel has anointed him. He's told him to meet him at Mizpah. I think it's Mizpah. And he's told him there's going to be some things happen to him as he goes back. And so as Saul is walking back to his family there and to Kish and his family there in Benjamin, tribe of Benjamin, we pick up in verse 9. It says, And it was so that when Saul had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. God changed his heart. He gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met Saul, And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew Saul before time saw that, behold, he prophesied where? Among the prophets. He's not a prophet, but he's got the spirit of a prophet on him. So he's prophesying among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Verse 12, and one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. So what we see here is that, first of all, Saul had a change of heart. He had a change of heart. And whenever he changed his heart, he became more spiritual. And as he walked and came amongst the prophets, he began to prophesy. That spirit of prophecy that was among the prophets came upon Saul, and he began to prophesy. Now, he prophesy simply means to foretell, not foretell. It's not speaking some kind of mystic thing in the future. He is speaking as if God was there. That's how prophets prophesied. They foretold. They spoke as if God was there. When you read the prophets and they're giving their discourses, it's what God would have said had he been there. And that's what Saul began to do. He's with the prophets. He's beginning to speak like a prophet, act like a prophet. And they say something funny. They say, who's his father? And if you look at the sheet with me, it says, this phrase, who is his father, indicates that the people were shocked at the change in Saul. The leader of the schools of the prophets were called fathers. The question then indicates that Saul was not of the school of the prophets, but his abilities were of God through a changed heart. So, here we got Saul, whose heart is changed, and now the spirit of the prophets rest upon him, and he prophesies even though he's not under a prophet. So there's no one there that is causing him to do this. He is just under the spirit of the Lord. The anointing of God is on him, and he is prophesying and totally out of his character, because people say, is this Saul? So this is what we see. So the equivalent to this in our day would be someone that comes and gets saved and gets filled with the Holy Spirit and then just begins to be used of God, in tongues or interpretations or healing or speaking. You know, maybe they're even in like teaching a Sunday school class or doing whatever they're doing, and you know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon them, that they're speaking or they're praying or they're doing something that's letting you know that they've had a changed heart and that the Holy Spirit is resting upon them because the things they're doing now are under the anointing of God. So does that make sense? That's the equivalent of where Saul is right now. He has nobody that's his leader. He's not just simply following somebody. He's not following some prophet. He has become a prophet. Okay? So do y'all know the story of Saul after this? Remember, he became king, then he disobeyed God a couple of times, and God removed the Spirit of the Lord from him. Remember that? And he gave the kingdom to David. But Saul was still king, but David was the king in waiting, if you would. And so Saul began to try to chase David to kill him so that his son Jonathan would be king and not David. So Saul is now become a murderer. He's tried to kill David a couple of times with a javelin. Fortunately, he's not a very good shot with a javelin, or David's very quick, one of the two. He hadn't hit him. He's chasing him through the woods. David says he's being chased like a rabbit. And so he's being hounded by Saul. Saul wants to kill him. There's nothing good in Saul right now. But the Bible even says that God put an evil spirit upon him. So the spirit that's on him now is no longer a spirit of a prophet. It is an evil spirit that has come upon him because God has disqualified him. Are you with me? Okay, so now we're looking at a disqualified Saul. Are y'all still with me? What are we looking at? A disqualified Saul. Okay, so let's go to 19, 1 Samuel 19. He is no longer qualified to be king. He is no longer a prophet. His heart has gone to being back to the flesh. He is no longer qualified to be king, and he is disqualified. Matter of fact, God told Samuel, don't even pray for him anymore. Don't lift him up to me anymore. Forget him. He's done. So now let's go to 1 Samuel 19. Let's look at verses. Saul is chasing after David. And somebody tells him, they said, David's down there with Solomon, with Samuel, down there in the school of the prophets. And so Saul sends some people down there and some things happen. And in verse 22, we pick up Samuel 19, 22. 19, Scott. There you go. 22. Let's start at 21. And when it was told Saul, now what is Saul here? Disqualified. He's accompanied by an evil spirit, right? And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied. Then went Saul also down to Ramah, and he came to a great well that is in Sikhu, and he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And they said, Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he became to Naoth in Ramah. And what did he do when he got there? He stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and laid down. What does yours say? What? He ripped off his robe and he laid naked. Now, he wasn't totally naked, but he was in his underwear. Laid down naked all the day and all the night. Wherefore they say what? Is Saul also among the prophets? Now I want you to notice something here. The first time they ask what? Who's his father? They didn't ask that this time because Samuel was there. But he's prophesying. He's been disqualified. He's been removed. He's got a heart of a murderer. He's pursuing after David to kill him. But when he gets in this state, he begins to speak in the tongue, not tongues, but he begins to prophesy. The Spirit of God comes upon him and he prophesies. So can you lose the Holy Spirit once you receive it? I don't know. But I know the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And I know something else. Whenever Saul prophesied the first time, everybody said, is Saul among the prophets? Who's his father? They realized, they knew it was right. What happened this time? He takes off his clothes and he lays down naked all day. Does that seem a little weird to you? It seems a little weird to me. And so what I'm going to tell you is that God gives us a gift of the Spirit called the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. And while the gifts and callings of God may be irrevocable, they may be irrevocable, and someone who is not living right may be able to speak in tongues, may be able to give out a message in tongues, may be able to interpret, may be able to lay their hands on somebody and they'll be healed. God gives me the discerning of spirits to say, yeah, but they're naked. Something's not right here. This isn't right. Something doesn't feel right. Something's not sitting right. Even though for the devil himself can appear as an angel of light. Unless the days were shortened, even the elect would be deceived. So the devil himself can appear as an angel of light. Someone who has been filled with the Holy Spirit and knows the feelings and the workings of the Holy Spirit, I've seen it in action, you've probably seen it too, and we see it in Scripture, they can likewise move in the Spirit of the Lord, even if they're wrong morally, they can somehow be used of God, but it's not going to be right. There has been moments in this church in the 16 years that I've been here that there have been interpretations that I've seen you go, because it didn't feel right. Something's not right about that. It was given in the flesh. It was somebody's idea. I was in a church one time when I was a kid. I'll never forget this. There was a lady that there was a message in tongues, which wasn't that unusual. But it was back in the 60s when there was a lot of race stuff going on. I don't know how many of y'all are old enough to remember when all that was going on. But there was in Los Angeles, they were tear gassing and burning the city down. And there was all kind of race issues going on and all kind of stuff going on. And there at the church in Beaumont, there was a message in tongues. I was probably in my early teens. And the lady gave the interpretation, and she said, "Thus saith the Lord, I refuse to bless this church until you put a black man on staff. You have shown your prejudice. You have shown that you don't love my children. And until you put a black man on staff, I'm writing Ichabod over the door." Well, I can tell you just the same thing that I'm feeling right now, that same ice water going down my back right now, was the same thing that was going on in that service. Everybody knew that wasn't of God. That was her idea. That was something she was saying. But she said it like it was a prophecy. She said it with all the actions, all the intensity, everything that you would have thought was a prophecy of an interpretation in tongues. But the Spirit, discerning of the Spirit, said something's wrong with that. And I'll never forget, the pastor said, "You may be seated, ma'am. You will see me as soon as this service is over with." And I thought, she's going to get a whooping. Not going to be good for her. But what I'm telling you is that I may not understand exactly how it works. There's lots of things in life I don't understand exactly how they work, but I know they work. I don't exactly understand how you can take a tape that's flat and get music to come off of it. I don't exactly understand that, or I don't understand either how you can take a disc that's got no grooves on it and run and shine it under a light and somehow ones and zeros comes off of it and it makes music. I don't exactly understand all that either, but that don't prevent me from using it. I know if I stick the CD in the player, it's going to play. So I'm just telling you tonight, as part of a discussion here on tongues and interpretation of tongues and spiritual gifts, that just because somebody tells you, "Thus saith the Lord, you need to go to Africa," you better try that spirit. You better try that. Or just because someone is living a life that you know is not righteous and they give out a message in tongues, you just better be careful. And I will tell you this, since I don't think any of that's going on right now, and this is a good time to talk about it when it's not going on. I will tell you this, that as pastor, if you're giving out messages in tongues or interpretations in this church, and I find out, not by hearsay, but I actually know, not because somebody told me, but because I see it, I actually know that you're living an immoral lifestyle and that you are not living godly, then you and I will have a talk. Not because I want to be ugly, but because I don't want you sowing confusion in this place. I don't want people saying, "Well, how are they giving out messages in tongues? I saw them at Ray Ray's last night and they were drunk and Hooter Brown." That's confusion. And confusion's not of God. Just like this. Saul laying naked all night confused everybody. Him prophesying confused everybody. Was it right? May have been. But the fact is, he's causing confusion, and confusion is never of God. So what I'm telling you tonight is we're talking about spiritual things here, and we're a spiritual people. We are Pentecostal, and so we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the actions of the Spirit, the movings of the Spirit. We believe and we practice those things. But while we do, I'm cautioning you tonight to be very careful, because Jesus said in that same chapter in Matthew, "You'll know them by their fruits." If that fig tree's not bearing figs, then there's something wrong with that tree. And you need to be careful. God gives us the discerning of spirits, and you all, everyone in here, is spiritual enough to know when something doesn't feel right, when something doesn't look right, when something's just not right. And if it's not, then you better be careful around it. Because while the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, while that's true, the actions of that person will demonstrate whether or not they're of God. Are you with me? So the question is, if once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, can you lose that? And my answer is, I'm not sure. I know you can lose your salvation. I know that's true. And I would think that if you lost your salvation, you would lose your ability to be in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does not inhabit an unclean vessel. I would think that's true too. But I've seen some things in my life that were so weird, and I can't really find it in Scripture exactly like I want it to say, to tell you that just be careful. Yes. You know, God, as you read Scripture, there's some places in Scripture that where it says weird things. For example, whenever Ahab was going to go to battle, and he asked Jehoshaphat, y'all may not know this story, but when Ahab was a wicked king, he was from Israel, he was going to go to battle, he asked Jehoshaphat, which was the king of Judah, to come go to battle with him, and the king of Judah said, do you have a prophet? And so they brought 400 prophets in there. And all these prophets were talking about, go and God will prosper you. The Lord is with you. One of them even made horns. He made a set of horns and he put them on his head. And he said, with these horns you shall push. Now, horns in the Old Testament signified authority, power. He said, with these horns you'll push them out to the sea. You know, go, God is with you. But Jehoshaphat asked a funny question in the middle of those 400 people prophesying. You know what he asked? He asked, do you have a prophet that the Spirit of the Lord lives in? Do you have a prophet that the Spirit of the Lord lives in? He discerned that even though these guys were prophesying, even though these guys were speaking with authority, even though these guys were very adept at what they did, Jehoshaphat had enough God in him to say, something's not right here. This just ain't right. And Ahab said, I have one. His name is Micaiah. And whenever Micaiah came in, and Micaiah said, he saw the Lord saying, how can I confuse Ahab to go down to Ramoth Gilead? And the Bible says that a lying spirit came to God the Father and said, I will lie in the mouth of his prophets and cause him to go down. And God said, go. Now, to me, that is a weird scripture. To think that God would release a lying spirit to go and make a prophet tell a lie. I can't tell you I understand everything about that either. But what I can tell you is that Jehoshaphat, who was godly, knew that something wasn't right. And that's how you'll know too. Whether it's the devil mocking mocking it, whether it's someone who just understands the power of God that knows when and where and how from past experience. I can't tell you that I understand everything about this, but I can tell you this. If it's not of God, it won't feel right, it won't smell right, it won't taste right, and we'll all be looking at each other saying, what is this? It'll cause confusion. It'll cause somebody to lay on the floor naked. It'll cause somebody to lay on the floor naked in a weird state. Not normal. And so, anybody have any questions about this? I'm just about out of time, so I don't think I can go on any further. Everybody understand what I'm telling you? You with me? Thank you. look at it. Well, I will tell you this. Long ago, in a far, far place. Long ago, 10 years or more, we started having a message in tongues after the second song. It was happening every service. And I can tell you this, that after about 4, 5, or 6 weeks of it, I started saying, I don't even know if this is of God. I've never been in a church that sings two songs, have a message in tongues. Every week. And then we started having more than three, and that was bothering me too. And so one week, I'm as pastor of this church, I made the grand decision that I wasn't going to let that happen. I was not. We were going to move on, because I decided that is just too much. That is a form of godliness. That's what I decided. Two songs and a message in tongues. I've never been to a church that did that. Never been around to people that did that. And I just decided, you know what? I don't know if that's even right. And we're gonna press on. So Mike led two songs. He stopped. He looked at me, and I said, and he kind of went, it's that look in his eye, you know? What? I said, play. So he did. And there was the most confusing spirit that came in this place. It was weird. It got weird. From then on out, it got weird. And you know, I decided after that service, I said, you know, if God wants us to sing two songs and give out a message in tongues every week, then I'm not going to intrude in God's stuff. Because I can tell you that I stopped it, and it was weird. So that tells me that I was wrong. I shouldn't have stopped it. I should have just let it go. Sometimes it's one song. Sometimes it's three songs. There has been one or two services or five or so where there isn't anything. And so the important thing is not whether or not it seems to be following a pattern, but the important thing is it of God? And you all have enough God in you to know when something's not godly. You all have the discerning of spirits. As I'm looking across here, I don't see anybody here that I think does not have a discerning spirit about them, that if something ungodly began to happen in here, you would look at me or look at your neighbor and say, what is that about? That feels weird. Yes. Are you gonna talk about that? Yes. No, don't do it. No, stop. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And as long as the Spirit bears witness with what's going on, and there's peace, and it's done decently and in order, and it edifies and it comforts and it exhorts, then that's fine. If it's not doing that, then the Bible says, gives us specific actions, and we're going to talk about that, gives us specific actions to do to bring the service back in order. Because God is not the author of confusion. And if something feels, looks, tastes confusing, then God's not in it. It's that simple. And I don't care if they give out the most powerful message in tongues and the most powerful interpretation, and you can line people up and they can cause the dead to rise. I don't care. You know, if it's not of God and it's causing confusion, then you better get away from it. You better let it go, or you'll be just as confused as they are. And once you get confused, it's hard to get unconfused. Once you start making bad decisions, it's hard to start making good decisions. Yes. Amen. Amen. I agree. And that's important. That's important, you know. And that's very important that it's anointed, that it doesn't bring confusion. A lot of times the messages in tongues all build on each other. And then a lot of times they tie in right with the sermon. Sometimes Michael sing a song or Michael will have a message in tongues and the next song is exactly what we just heard about. Those things are decent and in order. Yes. Right. That's right. But if it gets to where it does not, then you better get away from it. Let me say one thing, and I'll call it. A couple of people had their hands up. Let me say one thing. I went and talked at a Mormon church once. They asked me to come speak. I was on the school board in Silsby. They asked me to come speak to their youth at a Mormon church right down the road here. And I went and spoke to them. No, it was in Silsby. It was the church in Silsby. I went and spoke to them. And whenever I finished, they gave me a Mormon Bible that was all signed. They all signed their name in it and gave me a Mormon Bible. That was my pay for the night. They gave me a cheap Bible. Anyway, I took it home and it was sitting in my office. So one day I thought, you know, I'm going to read these books that are not script, that are in the Book of Mormon that aren't in this Bible. I'm going to read them just so I can kind of understand what they're talking about. And when I opened that thing up, I felt the Holy Spirit just almost yell in my ears, "You better put that down. You better put it down." And I thought, well, Lord, I need to understand a little bit about this so I can know what they're talking about. I can witness to them. And he didn't say anything, but I knew in my spirit, my intuition said, you start reading that, you'll get as confused as they are. So I closed it, walked out to the garbage can, and dropped it in there. And I'm not being disrespectful to the Book of Mormon. I'm just saying I didn't want it in my house because you can get confused. Tammy. Uh-huh. Right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yes, there is. Who else had their hand up? Somebody else had. Yes. Check it out. That way if it gets wild, you can get out quick. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You have to be careful. You have to. There's a lot of. We got to go. I know some parents are probably about to get upset, but there's a lot of voices out there right now, teaching a lot of stuff, and I'm telling you, you just got to be careful. You got to be careful, and God gives you the ability to be careful through the discerning of spirits. He gives. Everyone has a discerning of spirits. You have a knower. It's called intuition. That's part of your spirit man. You got a knower. He knows when it's right and he knows when it's wrong. And if you listen to him, then you'll know too. So can you lose it? I don't know. But I do know this. You can get confused. So just don't stand with me tonight. Let's get. Yes, sir. Since you started this.
My joke is easy and my burden is a lot.
If anybody's confused about the Bible study tonight, I'll stick around up here. Come up here, we can talk about it, because I realize you can get confused. If you're confused, then just come up here and we'll talk about it some more. But hopefully we talked about it enough that everybody understands what we're saying here. So, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for your direction tonight. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, Lord. And we pray tonight, Almighty God, that you would protect us and keep us, O God. Help us, Lord God, to discern, Father God, the spirit in which the message is being given. Lord God, not just to blindly accept things, Lord God, as they come, but to use the discerning that you have given us, O God, to use the knower, the intuition that lives within us, O God, to discern what is of God and what's not of God. And Lord God, we just thank you right now, Lord God, that you give us all the tools we need in order to make it to heaven and be successful on this earth. And we praise you for that tonight. Keep your hand upon this congregation. Love them, keep them, anoint them, move them forward in you, God, Father God, and get us ready, Father God, for a great service Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.